opportunities, amen, to just make a way when there seemeth no way.
Amen.
I love the scripture, the things that are impossible with man are made possible by God.
Yes, amen.
Aren't you thankful that God loves us that much, amen, to make a way?
Amen.
I thought number one would surely be me. Thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Knows that sometimes all it takes is just to place our hand in God's hand. Not only does He give us strength, not only does He build our confidence, but He gives us direction. You know, never been made aware of that so much as it is. Now when I go and visit Mother and she stands there not really knowing which way to go sometimes until I take her hand and she puts her hand in mine, and you can feel the confidence that she has, and you can feel that she has a sense of direction and she's ready to go then. And that's a natural thing. How many of us has been there spiritually? Whatever the situation, we're standing there spiritually. We're not knowing which way to go. We're so confused. We're so frustrated. things around us just doesn't seem to be clear. We don't know which direction to take. We're asking God, God, just show me a way, show me a way. But when he offers his hand and we reach out and touch that hand, and he takes our hand in his, we know then we have a sense of direction. Doesn't matter which way he takes us, it's going to be the right way. I thought I could do a lot on my own. Thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. That old mountain just too high, the valley's too wide. Down on my knees I learned to stand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Thanks for holding my hand, dear Lord. Praise God. Give him praise. So thankful to our Lord, amen, who knows just what to do, knows just what we need, amen, and is able to provide that need. When we need strength, amen, he is our power. Glory to God. When we need direction, he is our guidance, amen. Sometimes just when we need a friend, he is our comfort. So many things that God can do for us. Well, it's good to see you here tonight. Either one of two things. Either I preached too good this morning or I preached too terrible. Because either they got full or they got mad. But we're glad you're here. Amen. And we're glad the Spirit of the Lord is here too. If you have your Bibles, go with us for just a short time tonight in the book of St. Matthew into the 6th chapter. St. Matthew chapter number 6. We're going to get right into the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, as it's often referred to. And Brother Thomas sang tonight the red letters. Amen. How many is thankful for the red letters, for the words of Christ, our Lord and Savior? These are the red letters of St. Matthew. And I want to begin in verse number 19, and we may go down through verse number 24 or 25. We'll get there. St. Matthew chapter number 6, beginning with verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Can we bow our heads in prayer tonight? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for your word. We're thankful, Lord, for your comfort, for your strength, and for your guidance. And Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would just anoint these lips of clay. Father, I pray, God, that you would send down from heaven that we need to hear. God, I pray, Lord, that your word would stick in our spirit. God, that we would be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. We do remember the many requests, God, and there are many. So many people stand in need of prayer tonight. And Father, we pray, God, that you would intercede on behalf of each and every need. Bless those that are sick, those that are afflicted. Touch those in the hospitals and the nursing homes. Father, those who are traveling, God, for vacation to and fro, pray, God, that you would protect them. Lord, lead and guide them. We ask you now, God, just to be in this service. God, and we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Love Jesus one more time, and you may be seated. Praise God. I want to take a little sip of the water that Trey got for me tonight. They've been teaching them to help out with things, so he's the water boy. So I got two glasses of water, so that means 2 hours of preaching, maybe. Or maybe not. Tonight, I just want to speak for just a little while concerning full of light. When something is full, man, there's no room for anything else, right? In fact, if something is full and you try to put more in it, what's it going to do? It's going to bubble over, isn't it? Amen. How many want to be full of the Spirit of the Lord? Amen. Full of the knowledge of Christ. We find here right in the, and this is what I think is so intriguing. The Bible is so wonderful, and it's not just thrown together. There's a purpose, I believe, with all of my heart, for every word, every scripture, and I believe it's in the exact order that God wanted it to be. But here we find Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, taking time to sit down and to teach the Word and to expound upon the Word. Not only to teach the Word, but to teach the application of the Word. Now, it's one thing to know the Word, but another thing, too, to apply it to our lives. So Christ was talking about all the things that you, and you're aware, you're familiar with the Sermon on the Mount and the many, many topic areas that he discussed and that he began to open up their eyes. And you know what? I believe this was probably more than a 30-minute setting. In fact, I believe it may have lasted hours, if not maybe even pretty much the part of the day that Christ, but something about when he spoke. One author wrote that there was authority in the name, in the voice when he began to speak. But here he begins to talk about in verse 19 through verse number 24, he talks about money and how that money should apply to the believer and what we should understand and how we should conduct ourselves with financial matters. And he talks about that in verse 19 and 20, and he picks it up again in verse 24 and 25. But sandwiched in between that is almost, if you think about it, it's a different topic or a different subject. But then when you begin to understand what Christ is talking about and look into the Word, it's exactly where it needs to fit in our lives. Because he begins to talk about the eye. First of all, he says, basically, you know, we're not supposed to lay up treasures here. We're supposed to put our treasures up in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt. In other words, not putting our faith and trust in material things, but in spiritual matters with the Lord. And then he talks about we cannot serve God and mammon or God and money. Never let money take the place of God. Regardless of what your status is in life, don't ever let money or financial matters or situations come between you and God. So in between that, he begins to talk about the light of the eye. Now, Bible tells us, and the history tells us, and if you look at the words in the Hebrew, the light here basically was the word lamp. It was the same thing. It was synonymous of lamp. Lamp being a little pot that contained olive oil, and it contained a wick. Now, they tell us that this wick was much wider than the wicks of today. If you have a lamp anywhere around, and maybe you have a power shortage, somebody knows exactly where that oil lamp is, and hopefully it's not like the foolish virgins, but there's oil in your lamp, so when the light goes out, you can find that lamp readily available and put a light to that wick and have light there till the power comes back on. How many knows what I'm talking about when we're talking about an old-fashioned kerosene lantern? And I have several around the house. And by the way, I do have some oil in those. But this was maybe a little pot and had two holes in it. One hole was filling up the olive oil. The other hole was for a wick. Now, here he's talking about the lamp of is the eye, or the eye is the lamp of the body, meaning that the eye is the vision of the body. It's the illuminating part of the body. And it's real intriguing to me that Jesus uses the word I in singleness. He does not use plural. Many, many times, you know, we talk about the eyes and we're given two eyes and we focus on those. But it lets me to believe that maybe he was here, he was referring to something rather than just physical vision. Maybe he was talking about something spiritual. when he talked about the eye and the purpose of the eye, meaning that not only it's taken for granted that the eye is going to see and understand what it sees, but also the spiritual eye is going to illuminate the body, and the body is going to follow the leadership of the eye. And the lamp of the that does the body, that is singular or synonymous with the Spirit of the Lord that leads us and guides us. How many knows we need to trust in the Spirit of God? Amen. Not necessarily what we see physically, but what we see spiritually. And there's many, many accounts in the Bible where people went by the vision, amen, of depending on God. It was not what they saw visually, because the Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So many times we have to lean on our faith and trust in God when we can't see the outcome, when we can't see the path. But here we understand, and let's look at verses number 22 and 23. This is what I want to really talk about tonight. I guess if I had a topic, it would be full of light. How many knows that we not only need to have the light of the Lord in our body, but we need to be full of the light? He says, the light of the body is the eye, or the lamp of the body, that guiding feature, that illuminating factor of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Now, it's important to understand what he's talking about when he says thine eye be single, meaning whole, meaning it is full of the anointing of God. To be full is to be full in the Spirit, and to be singleness of heart and mind with God's Spirit. In other words, if it's well, or if it's whole, these are synonyms that are given here to describe what single means. In other words, if a body is frail, then it's not completely whole. If our eyesight is dim, if our eyesight wavers, if our eyesight needs extra additive things to make us see better, then it's not completely whole. But spiritually, our vision needs to be whole, okay? And again, we're going to point out some instances in the Bible where that remains true. So if therefore thine eye be single, then it affects the whole body shall be full of light. And isn't it amazing that he talks about this right in the middle of financial matters? And I believe with all of my heart that he's talking about not so much vision, but he's talking about direction. I have used that word several times already, and I did it purposely because I believe that God wants to give us direction. I believe so many times when we stand frustrated, when we look over situations and we weigh this and we weigh that, and we're trying to see which way we need to go, what decision we need to make, what direction we need to take. And so many times the more things that we're kind of mulling around in our body or in our mind, the more confusing it is to be to us. When we can depend on God and let that lamp, let that spiritual lamp begin to enlighten us on which direction to take. Amen. And I know that God will never lead us astray. Now, we don't always see and understand the way and the path that God is leading us. Can I get a testimony? Many, many times we have to follow him blindly, amen, because we don't know where he's taking us. We can't see, amen, but when we arrive there, we say, oh, well, that's exactly where God wanted me to be, and I'm so thankful that I followed him. So we need to understand that when the light of the body, or the lamp of the body, is the eye, the spiritual eye, that we see and follow after Christ, then the whole body shall be made full of light. But then he goes on to say, but if thine eye be evil, thy eye be evil. Now, this is the reason I don't think he's necessarily talking about the vision part or the physical part of our eye, because sometimes we see evil, sometimes we see bad things, but it's not because the eye is evil, it's because of the things that we see that affects the eyesight. But here he's talking about, I believe, that spiritual eyesight, if it be evil. Case in point, if all we can see is negativity, if all we can see is faults and failures of others, if all we can see is the downside rather than the upside, if all we can see is what's wrong in the church rather than what's right in the church, if all we can see is other people, amen, and how that we might judge ourselves against them, and we think that we're better off than them, those are the things that I believe that he was talking about, if that eye be evil. and see those things. And let me tell you something. If you really search, you can find and see good in almost every situation. You can find something that's good. But so many times, and we talk about the news media. The news media, they play on evilness. They play on things. I mean, when's the last time you saw the news when something good was on? Every once in a while, at the very end of the newscast, they'll say, and on a lighter side. But that's after 59 minutes of bad doom and gloom and sadness and sorrow and all of those things. But you know what? Christians shouldn't follow that. They should not apply that to their life. We should not be down and out. We should not be affected by doom and gloom and things that are around us, because the eye that we have is the eye that follows the direction and the path that God lays for us, so that we can be faithful and trusting in Him and obedient unto Him wherever He leads us. But He goes on to say, if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Why? Because the whole body is dependent on the eye. It's dependent on the eyesight. Try walking around sometime in pitch dark. Amen. It doesn't matter how good you've memorized where the furniture is. You'll usually find it, usually with a stomp toe or a place on your leg that you run into it. But when that light comes on and you're illuminated, then you can see the pitfalls. Then you can see the obstacles that are in your way. Can we not apply that spiritually? Amen. Lord, let me see what you would have me to see. Let me follow in the path that you've laid before me. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, I've talked about some instances. I want to share some with you. You already know these. I just want to kind of bring them to our remembrance. But first of all, we talk about light being singleness and direction rather than vision only. How many know sometimes the Lord gives us direction and we can't see it? We can't understand it. You know, the Bible says His thoughts and His ways are higher than ours. I think we ought to be a point in our life now, though, that we understand that. Sometimes we think, God, you got to explain every move I'm going to make. No, He doesn't. He really doesn't. He just asks us to be obedient. Sometimes God already has a way made for us, and we're still trying to figure out our next step. But God already knows and has a plan for each and every one of us. So we need that singleness of direction rather than vision only. We need to see spiritually what God intends for us to do. We remember the stories of the 12 spies that went out into the land of Canaan, and the land that flowed with milk and honey, and how Moses, under the instruction of God, sent these 12 spies out, one from each tribe of Israel. And they came back, and 10 of them had an evil report. An evil report meaning negativity. An evil report meaning there's no way. We don't stand a chance in this new country, this land that flows with milk and honey. Surely it is great. The production of it is, the produce of it is wonderful, and the fruit and all is great. But there's giants in that land, and the people are stronger than we. But there was two of the spies that said, no, we are more than able to take that. What difference did those two see as opposed to the 10? Visually, I believe they all saw the same thing. Natural eyesight, they saw the giants. They saw the overwhelming armies. They saw the walled cities. They saw all the same thing that the other 10 saw. But two looked at something different. Two of them looked through eyes of spiritual eyes, I believe with all of my heart. And eyes that God is able to lead and God is able to guide. And if God said He can do it, how many believes that He can do it? Amen. So that's a case in point of where sometimes you can't depend on your natural eyesight. You have to depend on the vision of the Holy Spirit that God has placed within us, so that we can step forward when God says go. There's a time to go. There's a time to stand still. Just as the case with the children of Israel when God led them out of Egyptian bondage. There was a pillar of fire by night and a cloud of smoke by day. And how many remembers the story? When the cloud of smoke was moving, then the children of Israel had to get up and move. But when the cloud of smoke stopped, the children of Israel had to stop. There's times, amen, that we need to stop. We want to go forward, but it's not the time. When God allows us to go forward spiritually, whatever it is in our life, whatever decision making it is, if we can learn to depend on the light of the lamp that God has given us, and that lamp is that Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us. Another situation was Joshua, one of the 12 spies. Later on, after the death of Moses, Joshua was the next in order in line for the leadership of Israel. And you remember that God took him and let him see the walls of Jericho. He let him see the city of Jericho. And again, he was the one of the two spies that said, we're more than able. We can do it because we know that we're greater than, because God is on our side. Amen. We need to be reminded every once in a while that no matter how big the obstacle is, no matter how high the mountain is, no matter how low the valley is, we are more than able because God is on our side. Amen. And give him all honor and glory. So Joshua was standing there and God says, see, I have given you this city. Now, his natural vision saw a city with the walls still up. And you know, sometimes that causes us to be disappointed. Because when God says, see, I have done it, we look and it doesn't seem to have been accomplished yet. It doesn't seem to be done yet because we're looking through natural vision. We're looking through exactly what we see. But when we use that spiritual light, we see things as though they are not. Amen? We see things according to faith that we place in God, and then God allows us to see those things spiritually. So he told Joshua, see, I've given you this city. And so many times we look at that and we have to wait. That's before the walls fail. Come on. I'm ready to hear a testimony before the walls fall. Amen. I'm ready to hear a testimony before the hurting actually quits. I'm ready to hear a testimony, amen, where God has already made a way, even when we have not experienced it yet, because God honors faith. Amen. You know the story I've told, and I'm not going to bore you with that story again, but the story of my mother when she claimed Dennis's healing, and for weeks, if not months, she called it done, although his arm was crooked. She was looking not through natural eyes, but she was looking through the illumination of the Holy Spirit that caused her to believe that God had healed his arm, even though it was crooked. But one day, thank God, she looked, amen, and her visual, her natural vision, amen, coincided with her spiritual vision then. Amen. After the fact, faith is easy, but before the fact, it's a little difficult sometimes for us to really live and operate by faith. Another one was the prophet Elisha. You remember Elisha, who took the mantle from Elijah. And Elisha was anointed of God, just like Elisha was. And there was an uproar there. There was a battle going on, and there was an army that was completely ready to annihilate Elisha. In fact, they had completely encircled his dwelling place, the house where he was in. How many remembers that Elisha had a little servant with him? And the servant was just beside himself because he looked out and he saw this entire army that was surrounding them, and he began to panic. But Elisha was cool and calm because Elisha saw something that the servant didn't. Amen. How many sometimes have been told, well, if that was me, man, I'd be worried to death. I don't see how you cope with that. I don't see how you can claim victory when it happened yet. They're not seeing what you're seeing. Amen. When you see God in operation, ever before there is physical evidence, God will honor that faith. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart that even though that we've been born again and we've been walking with the Lord for years and years and years, sometimes our spiritual vision might begin to dim a little bit. And we need, amen, that focus of putting our faith and trust in God and having him open doors. Boy, that vision clears up in a hurry when God does a miracle for us, doesn't it? When God sends money where we needed money, God, that spiritual vision comes into play a lot. But so many times when we can't see the answer, we can't see the spiritual doors opening, we can't see any direction, then we begin to get a little bit dim in our spiritual eyesight. But I believe if we stand up, amen, clear our spiritual eyes and begin to walk by faith, we'll see more miracles. We'll see more operation of God, and we'll see more operations of the Spirit. So Elisha looked, and he wasn't worried. So he prayed. He said, open up the eyes of my servant so that he can see what I can see. You see, the servant saw the army, the enemy. But Elisha saw God's angels completely encircled around the enemy. Amen. The natural eye couldn't pick that up. Amen. How many knows what 3D glasses are? And we talked about this. You know, sometimes when you're watching a movie and you don't have the 3D glasses, you're seeing everybody else and all the kind of effects that they're doing, and they're doing this and they're doing that, and you're wondering what's going on. It's still on the screen, but you're not able to see it because you don't have those 3D glasses. Now, that's just a natural example, but many, many times we spiritually don't have those glasses, those eyes of faith, to really, really see what God is doing in our life. See, the angels were there all around anyway, but the natural eye couldn't see it. But Praise God. When God opened his eyes and he looked around, he was amazed then because he saw all those angels with flaming swords around him. How many knows that God's got things under control? If we'll just open up our spiritual eyes and begin to look and see what God is doing in our life. And finally, David. David was just a little bitty ruddy youth, the Bible says. He was supposed to be back tending sheep, but his daddy sent him out to the battle. And there he went to the battle, and he was a little bit confused because there was not a battle going on. He said the army of Israel were arrayed, or they were encamped on one side of the valley, and the Philistines were encamped and arrayed on the other side. But there was a lot of ranting and raving going on because this giant Goliath was calling the children of Israel every name that he could and really demeaning the God of Israel and said, send out your champion. And even the brothers of David, who looked visually able and physically able to go out and combat the devil, amen, they were shaking in their sandals. They were not ready to do. And even Saul, who was head and shoulders above an ordinary man, he would not go out and fight him. But David saw something. David, just a little young boy, he saw something. He didn't really look at the size of the giant. He looked at the size of his God. Amen. And buddy, there's a great lesson in that. Praise God. So many times we size up the enemy and we look at that and say, that's an impossibility. I just can't see God doing that. I just can't see things getting better. I just can't see where I'll ever be able to accept that. All we're doing is looking at the giant. We're looking at the negative things. We're looking at the things that are impossible with man. But if we can look through eyes of faith, and it's difficult to do sometimes when you're facing a giant, when you're seeing, that's all you see. But David looked out there and he saw an opportunity. Not an opportunity for him to be lifted up. I believe with all of my heart, David was not a prideful person. I believe God used him because he was humble. God used him because when David fought the giant, amen, then God got the glory. Amen. And we need to understand that. When God opens the door for us, it's not because of us. It's all because of him. And he needs to get the honor and glory. So David saw that and he saw a chance for victory. He saw an opportunity for God to be God. I remember the message that Brother Max, Susan's dad, preached. He said, just let God be God. Amen. So many times we have to give God instructions, or think we do, have to tell God what we need, how we need him to do it, how we need him to open it up. Many, many times we even place a time limit on God. Said, God, you got to do it, and you got to do it this way, and you got to do it by a certain time. No, he doesn't. Amen. How many knows that God knows more than we know? If we can just learn to look through the body, through the light, amen, the spiritual light, then I believe we'll see more things that God would have us to see. I told you I would not be long tonight. I wanted to share that with you because God has really, really been dealing with me, amen, to look through that spiritual eyesight that God leads us. Because let me tell you something. Again, he says, as the eye sees, the body follows. Okay? So the body's going to follow on what we see. And I believe that spiritually too. I believe that even as we see a vision. The Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. Amen. And it's not just a vision of something that we want, but it's a vision of what God wants. And again, if you don't recall or don't remember anything about this particular message, remember that I believe the light, the eye that Christ is talking about here, has more to do with direction than it does to actual vision. Because if we're walking by actual vision, sometimes we're going to be disappointed. We're going to see things that was going to really be hard for us to claim and believe. But if we're walking with direction, if we're walking with a spiritual vision, amen, we're going to call those doors open even when they look closed. We're going to call that mountain gone even when that mountain looks big and almost unable to overcome because of the Spirit of God. Now I want to read these two scriptures again in closing, and hopefully we'll shed a little bit more insight on that when we're looking at what God is trying to tell us through the words here. And why, when we look back now, we see that those two scriptures are not out of context, but they're perfectly in order of what Christ is telling us. Because if we can learn to trust God with our body, we can learn to trust him with our salvation, we can certainly learn to trust him with our material things as well, with our financial problems, with situations that arise. And when we can't see, come on, when we can't see a way out, when we can't see something is so big and so humongous in the way, and it's blocking our faith, if we'll just learn to look through those eyes of faith, God can do it. Again, the light of the body, or the lamp of the body, is the eye. Okay? If therefore thine eye be single, if it be focused, if it be whole, if it be spiritually discerned. And that's another wonderful word to use, discernment. Discerning is finding out what God wants, not just what we think, but what God wants in our life, and understanding what God's way is, and understanding His commandments. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Our whole body can be full of light. Yes. But if thine eye be evil, if it's not whole, if it's not focused, if it's not honing in on the direction of God, it's more of what we want to see, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And I know many, many times we say as Christians, I don't see why the whole world doesn't live for the Lord. I don't understand why folks won't accept Jesus. It's the best life that there is. That's the reason, because our light or our eye has been made whole. But understand, if all they're seeing is evil, all they're seeing is doom, all they're seeing is gloom, all they're seeing is pain and misery, it's very difficult for them to see what God has illuminated in our life. So we were not always able to see through those eyes of faith either. How many of you can remember before Jesus Christ came into our life? We just went operated by natural vision, by just what we see, rather than what God would have us to see. So don't be so judgmental on the people today. Let's pray for them. Let's pray that their spiritual eyes will be open. Let's pray when we witness to them, amen, that they can see what God can do in their life. They don't have to be in misery. They don't have to be in pain. They don't have to be losing their direction or losing their way in life. They can put their faith and trust in God. How many is glad that we came to that knowledge and came to let God lead and guide in our life? May God bless you. I love you so much. Appreciate you coming out on a Sunday. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Well, I need to respect their beliefs. I'm not going to talk about Jesus. I'm not going to say this. I need to respect the, you know, the fact that they support LGBT and whatever these things are. It's politically correct for me to just keep my mouth shut. I'm not doing it anymore. Okay? I'm not doing it anymore. I don't care who I offend, because if they die not having what I have, and I've been guilty in the past. When I first was born again, got my salvation, I look at people and I go, they don't seem to have what I have. You know, I just got this, I gotta let it out, you know, and they just don't seem happy like I am. Why are they just sitting there, you know? And I was guilty of that when it first happened to me, you know? And I think that a lot of us, myself included, sometimes are self-righteous, which makes us hypocrites. Because instead of bringing people to the church, we're looking down our nose at these people, and they're seeing us. And what did Jesus tell us? Out of all things, you're to love the Lord your God and to love one another.
Amen.
And it really is that simple. If you just love people, then, I mean, that covers everything, you know? And why would we not want these lost people to have what we have?
Amen. Wonderful, wonderful words. And we do. We need that urgency in us. Because somebody shared the gospel with us. Amen. You know, I didn't come into this world saved. Somebody opened up my eyes and somebody had patience with me. Because I didn't accept it the first time I heard it. I thought I was okay. I thought I could do it later on. Amen. But somebody cared. And I thank God that Jesus cared. Amen. And we're supposed to love one another as He loves us. Amen. And that's a great, great love. So when we see an opportunity, and we can do it with love. We don't have to do it with prejudices. We don't have to do it being judgmental. In fact, that would usually turn more people off than it does turn them on. But we can do it with love because we love them. And we don't love the sin that they're doing, but we love them. And we want to see them in heaven. Amen. There's not a person in this world that I want to see go to hell. I do not want to see anybody. I want to see everybody. But that's a choice that they have to make. But we can encourage them. Amen. Thank you for that testimony. Look through those spiritual eyes. Amen. Would you stand tonight? Give you a chance. If you need prayer, please come. This altar is always open. We never, never say that the altar is closed. Amen. If you have a need, we'll pray with you and we'll gather around. So, with every head bowed and every eye closed tonight, is there one who stands in need of prayer that would come forward? May God bless you. Praise God. Some of you men and elders gather around. Let's pray.